This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In East St. Louis, something interesting is growing. Farmers and researchers are growing crops like collard greens. Others are avoiding dirt entirely by using hydroponic farms, growing lettuce that's stacked to the ceiling in shipping containers. The different projects come from a familiar name in East St. Louis, Olympic track and field champion Jackie Joyner-Kersee. Some of the projects hosted at her foundation's Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Innovation Center have already spent years putting their roots into the ground, producing food that's gone both to local families and restaurants in the St. Louis region. That is true for our first guest, Tova Feinberg. She's the founder of Verdigreens and is partnering with the Jackie Joyner-Kersee Foundation to assemble an unusual farming operation based on shipping containers. Tova, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
So before your Verdigreens work in East St. Louis, Tova, you spent many years in the hospitality industry in different parts of the country. What prompted this jump to farming?
Absolutely. So my background, yes, 14 years in food and beverage. I just knew everything in my life would be centered around food. And then I moved back home in 2019, got my MBA from WashU. And this project started because we did a market feasibility study to see if we could get a container farm on WashU's campus. So I got to interview lots of chefs in the area, people within the farming space, and really just saw that there was a huge need to bring these hydroponic units here in the St. Louis area because food is so important, provides nutrition, creates memories, builds community. So really that got me going to learn how to farm.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything in the course of your research that made you, you know, really think that hydroponic farming was the way to go?
Yeah, I think the technology is fascinating to be able to grow 365 days a year. No worries about pesticides or chemicals leaking into the food. You know, the quality that you can get from this harvesting, delivering the same day for optimal nutritional value and bringing the farm to the community in the heart of the city. I just think all of those points aligned with really the center of why I'm trying to do what I do with Verdigreens.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what a vertical farm is and what a shipping container treated as you are using them looks like on the inside.
Yep. So a vertical farm, think either you're growing up on a wall or you're stacking them as a bookshelf. But essentially, you are compacting cultivation space in a smaller footprint to save on land usage. So one shipping container farm, a standard 40-foot semi-truck, is about 2.6 acres of cultivation space. So we are able to grow 3,600 heads of lettuce within one of these units.
3,600.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to see all of those?
It's amazing. You open the door and it's just beautiful greenery. And just it gives you pride.
Mm-hmm. Now, this summer saw an outbreak of Cyclospora. It hit Illinois and Missouri pretty hard. And Cyclospora is a foodborne parasite, and it affected thousands of people and businesses, even Taco Bell. And the FDA eventually announced that it was linked to iceberg lettuce from Taylor Farms. Now, the worst of that outbreak does appear to be over, but that particular situation, Tova, led to a lot of inquiries, right?
Yes. So we haven't had a lot of, you know, public announcements about what Verdigreens is doing. It kind of just started to spark. But a lot of my friends and my current clients reached out and were like, we need the lettuce now because it's coming from this trusted source that we weren't affected by this outbreak. And I think just with recent food calls, food recalls as well, I think it's just this trust build that we want to have that this is where your food's coming from. Our food is safe and delivering it to you without the worry of getting sick.
Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur who's also working with plant science, I mean, were there certain lessons that you drew from seeing, you know, this crisis play out at a food systems level?
I think there's a big supply chain issue. I think that since 90% of our lettuce is coming from California, Arizona, it really sparks the question, how can we really localize it and localize the food system in general? And I think it really creates opportunity to build that, especially within urban agriculture and the opportunities, mm-hmm. especially a lot of the work that the Jackie Joyner-Kersee Fan Foundation is really working towards.
Yeah.
So it really gives us ammunition.
Okay. So on that note about Fan, and again, that is the farming Agriculture and Nutrition Innovation Center. You've been working with the JJK Foundation in East St. Louis, and it's currently hosting more than 20 of your shipping container farms, and you're producing food for the foundation. Talk to us about what that partnership entails.
Yep. So I got a call earlier in March asking if I would be interested to acquire a full farm site from the manufacturer Amplified Ag. They had a running farm site for a little under two years, in Atlanta, Georgia. And originally I was just going to acquire 3 units. I had the opportunity to acquire the full 21. And I was already in conversation with some partners here in St. Louis, and I actually reached out to Antonio and some other people in the area like, hey, like, would the JJK be interested in a certain partnership to bring these here? The conversations have been amazing with Mark Mestemacher, with Amy Funk, and we came to an agreement where they would host all the 21 units rent-free. They purchased 4 of them. We're going to be activating them shortly. And the biggest thing for me is 90% of the produce that I grow goes to Fertigreens, but 10% gets donated to East St. Louis families. So really being able to make an impact on the community in the city that I grew up in, really just makes this company full circle.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break here. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Tova Feinberg about vertical farming and look at the growth of plant science and agriculture in East St. Louis. We'll also meet a researcher who has focused on a single leafy vegetable and the heritage that's carried in its seeds. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about what's growing locally and who's part of that cultivation. Earlier this summer marked the opening of the Jackie Joyner Kersey Foundation's Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Innovation Center in East St. Louis. The center is a collaboration that's taken 4 years to bloom, and it has involved universities, scientists, and the Jackie Joyner Kersey Foundation. Amy Funk, the center's director, said that the founding organizations wanted to help young people find opportunities in food science and agriculture.
At the same time, 86% of the population in East St. Louis live in what's a designated food desert. Food access was very much a concern of Jackie Joyner Kersey related to the community that she serves and is from. So we started as a collective to build grow facilities that could meet some of these needs, specifically getting healthy foods into the meal program at the Jackie Joyner Kersey Foundation. And so what started as a few raised beds has now turned into where we're operating next year, we anticipate producing over 30,000 pounds of produce a year, of which much of which will go into the meals served at JJK, as well as other schools and other sites in East St. Louis.
That was Amy Funk, the director of the Jackie Joyner Kersey Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Innovation Center. To discuss the plant science and agriculture happening in East St. Louis, we've been speaking with Tova Feinberg. She's the founder of the startup Vertigreens. And I'd like to add another voice to this conversation. Plant scientist Antonio Brazelton is the senior coordinator of research partnerships at the Jackie Joyner Kersey Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Innovation Center. Antonio, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, after hearing what Amy was describing, you know, the dual missions of the center, what brought each of you to the center in the beginning? So, Tova, you did mention that it was introduction through Antonio. What took you there?
Yeah, so my role at the FAN was, as you mentioned, senior coordinator for research partnerships. And so really it was my role to look at the FAN as this giant playscape. And seeing what things can we learn in the space and treating it like a living laboratory. So bringing in people like entrepreneurs, bringing in other researchers, bringing in community members and asking questions and being curious about the space we were in. Mm-hmm. And Tova was one of those people that we had a chance where it was like, hey, I know you're doing some really cool work over at Vertigreens. What does that look like exploring urban ag space here in East St. Louis? Mm-hmm. And what can we do together?
So you were working in a very large greenhouse, right, Antonio?
Yeah.
Tova, did you get to see that? And like, what was your impression?
I did. So actually, Antonio gave me a tour of the greenhouse. And it's just the technology that was incorporated in this greenhouse. I mean, this passive solar piece to it is huge and elemental. And just the impact that he's been making with the Collard Greens Project. I got to see him speak at a smaller conference and kind of incorporating urban ag and really kind of his understanding behind the plants just has been super amazing to kind of see where Antonio has gone.
How do you all know each other?
I think originally, how did we meet originally? I think it was through like a business incubator program.
Through the Scandalera Center. Mm-hmm.
Scandalera mm-hmm. Center, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's sort of a WashU connection there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Antonio, you've spent years studying collard greens specifically.
Yeah.
And that has taken place over at the JJK Center. And you focused specifically on the root systems of
yeah.
these heirloom collard greens. Why were you looking that deep?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So plant roots, for one, are fascinating places to begin to understand plants and how they're adapting to space. When we think about urban agriculture, at least the farmers that I work with, they don't tend to have these 4 to 5 feet of soil to grow into that some of my conventional farmers might be working with. And so when we think about adapting crops locally to things like climate and soil conditions, roots are a natural place to begin to think about how we want plants to grow in the future.
And what you were also doing was collecting varieties and seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not as simple as, you know, picking them out of a catalog, although maybe
no.
someday. How did you gather these varieties, you know, and how is it building upon other scientists' work?
Yeah. So we got these varieties through working with the Heirloom Collard Project. And so it's a nonprofit working with organizations like the Ujamaa Farming Cooperative, working with Seed Savers to kind of preserve these heirloom varieties. And so many of these have been sent out through the 2020 variety trial. And so they were sending these out to gardeners, to researchers, and saying, hey, grow these and let's see what happens. And because I was coming into the PhD at the time, in a root lab, the top root lab at the Danforth Plant Science Center, it was natural to be like, hey, we don't know much about the roots here. We have all this great information about local adaptation and about how farmers across different regions are growing these. Let's look at what the root traits are doing and how they could be locally adapted and how we could look at improving some of that information.
Mm-hmm. And how were community members part of the work that you all were doing?
Yeah, it's funny. Like the minute I told people like, oh, yeah, I grow collards and I look at the roots. And I'm like, if you would be willing to give me maybe an hour of your time, I'd be willing to give you some greens. And so we had community members involved from every part of harvesting the greens. So we asked folks here in the city who were farming to come out and give us quality information about the greens. Like, hey, what do these taste like? What is the marketability for this if you were selling it at a stand, right? They're all varieties that you can't get here in the store. And so we had people doing that work. We had people who were actually coming to dig the greens. Since we're looking at the roots, we have to dig them all out of out of this passive solar. We had high school students that were there doing some of the imaging work. So some of our students have gone on now and completed college in the last year or so. And so it was a range of folks between flavor, between data acquisition, between data analysis. It was a really cool way to have community involved.
Mm-hmm. Does that reflect, Tova, any of what you have been able to do with Vertigreens, you know, working with young people, the kinds of tasks, you know, people were involved with? Like, do you have tasters? How does that work?
So primarily my tasters have been chefs, but now like working with the Jackie Joyner Kersee Foundation and getting a little bit more involved in schools, that is our big next step, is to bring in the youth, bring in that education piece. Just because we're seeing, you know, your average age of a farmer is 60 years old and getting older, and it's really imperative that we start teaching this next generation. But you can involve cool pieces like technology into this space and, you know, make it more urban. So really just that education piece is going to be vital for the future of food.
Mm-hmm. Sustainability is one of the big things, you know, people have been talking about a lot and continue to be discussing. The Vertigreens containers, though, are not yet sustainable.
So sustainable in the sense, yes, you're saving on land usage. So you're saving about 98% of land usage, taking, you know, 2.6 acres of space and putting into 325 square feet. And it's a closed loop system for your water. So about 5 gallons of water a day. However, it is a lot of energy needed to grow these plants. Mm-hmm. And so something that we are looking into is to enter into some research to see how can we bring that energy piece down.
Mm-hmm. How about, Antonio, for the research that you're doing, how much is sustainability part of those efforts?
I think the sustainability piece is huge there. So kind of to backtrack, a lot of people don't realize that the Danforth Plant Science Center is a world-class science institution here in the city. And so they are constantly looking at other crops and other systems, saying, how can we make this more sustainable for farmers globally? How can we make this more sustainable for St. Louis? And so a lot of the work that we're doing when we talk about climate change, when we talk about water use efficiency, is all things that incorporate that idea of sustainability. And there are questions we're asking about plants daily. And I'm really thankful that we get the opportunity now to work with Tova on some of that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Tova Feinberg. She's the founder of VertiGreens, which is a hydroponic vertical farming startup. And that farming is done in shipping containers. We're also speaking with Antonio Brazelton, who is the Senior Coordinator of Research Partnerships at the Jackie Joyner Kersee Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Innovation Center. That's speaking of food, it is a mouthful. Now, with the kind of partnership that you've enjoyed with the Jackie Joyner Kersee Foundation, what does that mean for you, Tova, as an entrepreneur, you know, getting to use the space and then also being able to contribute food to the community?
Oh, it's huge. I think especially within St. Louis, there are so many different resources for a founder and entrepreneur in general, but it's very siloed. And so a big thing with connectivity, you know, Jackie Joyner Kersee Foundation has been great with that. Greater St. Louis Inc. has been doing super well as far as connecting people. But I think that connection piece and that community piece is a huge foundation for really building up this ecosystem here in St. Louis. And so this partnership with JJK Fan is just the start. And I think there's so many great things we can do for the community, especially East St. Louis, because I think there's just so much opportunity. And I don't think it would be possible without partnerships like this one that we're forming now.
Mm-hmm. And there's a mention of Scandalaris. Mm-hmm. So this is how you met. Antonio, for you, getting to do work in East St. Louis, I mean, how did that come about? And, you know, in what way is entrepreneurship part of the work that you have been doing so far?
Yeah, I think this came about for me when I was looking at transitioning my work. So I was trained primarily in row crop production, so things like corn, soy, wheat, cotton, canola. And so I was leaving industry at the time, and I was thinking, man, there are so many other crops that feed food systems. And as a scientist, if I'm only working on or interested in certain types of crops, then how am I implicated in some of the issues that are happening within my local food system at my grocery store down the street? Mm-hmm. And so it was really cool to think like, well, what parts of these are hard science that you can't, that are immutable, right, in terms of some of the study systems, how they're done, but what pieces can be interchanged, right? So the crop can be interchanged. And so we chose collards because collards has such a huge cultural tie to the St. Louis community, but the southern community and African diasporic foodways. And so we said, man, what happens in terms of how we're training students, in terms of how we're training community members, if we're able to tie in a crop like collards? And so it was a really cool tie-in. The entrepreneurship piece, a lot of our students are really, really interested in building businesses, building sustainable pieces. It's also really important for how money cycles through the East St. Louis economy. And so how do we use plant science to make sure that we are encouraging students, introducing them to agriculture, introducing them to entrepreneurship?
Mm-hmm. And you've completed your collard green research in East St. Louis. Where is that research taking you next? Will you do more with collard greens? Are there other kinds of crops that you'd like to work with?
Yeah, so I'm learning that I may not be able to completely outgrow collards. Collards was such a huge success. But the next step is a postdoc at Washington University at the Newbursky School of Public Health with the new farm mission, so food and agriculture research mission. And so it's really cool. I'll have the opportunity to tie some of the upstream work and what does it look like to work in particular crops? What does it look like to do crop selection for certain traits and varieties? All things that would be really impactful to the type of work that TOVA is doing. Mm-hmm. But then how does that tie into downstream food systems, right? When we take culturally meaningful crops like collards, like okra, like African pea, and we invite community members in to be part of the work that we're doing instead of just, you know, receptors of our outreach, actually using them in parts of the input or allowing their input. How does that change the science? How does it change food systems? And so I'm really, really excited to start that work.
TOVA, we have talked about the rows and rows of of lettuce. What else are you hoping to see your vertical farms grow?
Absolutely. I think we can really diversify what we grow, including collard greens and different leafy greens. But, you know, microgreens is going to be coming next, and those are super, super nutrient dense. So the impact it can have will be fascinating. But also different types of herbs. But in the future, we'd like to look into mushrooms as well.
Mm-hmm. Any particular kinds you would like to grow in there?
Oh, I think lion's mane would be amazing. Cordyceps, mm-hmm. really those that are in the food as medicine category.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So as you each are looking at, you know, what happens with the JJK Center, in the final minute from each of you, you know, what are you hoping to contribute to as far as, you know, growing the mission of that, of the FAN Center? TOVA?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is getting healthy food to the community. You know, this technology has been around for a really, really long time. And I'd really like to see what type of an impact this technology can have on the place that I grew up in. So really just getting healthy food to everyone and seeing where we can take it from there.
Mm-hmm. And Antonio?
I think for me, I'm really excited kind of as I transition to see where crop selection and where being more inclusive of the people of East St. Louis and the broader St. Louis community help better prepare people, better prepare our students and our communities to take these roles and step into owning more of the food systems around them. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be amazing.
Last question. Do you see Jackie Joyner-Kersee walking around? Is she on your, you know, is she in the greenhouse? Has she been into the shipping container?
I haven't been able to meet her yet, and that lady is on the top of my list of people to meet.
Okay,
absolutely.
So that's now being put out, Antonio.
Yeah, Miss Jackie, I see her all the time. It's usually like
now
in
I'm
classrooms
jealous.
And like in with students. She is usually there and around checking in on things consistently.
All right. Tova, it sounds like you need to trail.
I know, Antonio, right?
Maybe a little bit.
Plant scientist of Antonio Brazelton, that is the senior coordinator of research partnerships at the Jackie Joyner-Kersee Food, Agriculture, and Nutrition Innovation Center. And TOVA Feinberg is the founder of VertiGreens. Thank you both for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.